Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests for both experiences and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. You're welcome to call in and ask questions and make comments during the show. There are a number of services available through our organization, Toward the Light, providing near-death studies and support, Reiki and remote healing, psychic, spiritual, grief, and motivational counseling, NDE books and DVDs and other products for body, mind, and spirit. I'd like to encourage you to help support this program by making a donation or sponsoring a show. For more information, please visit our website, towardthelight.org. This week, I'm very pleased to have back our guest who was on a show on 1st April, a fellow Lancashire friend, and his name is Matthew Deleuze, and he's the author of the book, You Will Be Wiser When You Are Older, and the other book, which is called The Stars Are Falling. Welcome back, Matthew. How are you, friend?
I'm very glad to be back, and I'm fine. I'm smashing. I'm very glad to be back on. I'm going to chat with you, Juliet, to be honest with you.
It's wonderful to have you back, and I've really been looking forward to this because I feel that we've just scratched upon the surface of so many important and relative bits of information that people need to know about. And maybe why don't we just sort of summarize a little bit about what we talked about last time, that when you were a lad, I think it was age six.
Yeah, age 6. I had what's classed today as an alien abduction experience. As we say, I was only 6 years old. It was a very traumatic time. Basically, I started off at 6 years old. I had a very, very positive meeting with a beautiful woman. Basically, a very lovely meeting with a wonderful, loving lady that told me things that were going to happen in the future.
Did she ever give you her name, perchance?
No.
No, okay.
If she did, I didn't take it in, but right. I was just overawed with the beauty and the feeling I had for her. You know, I can't explain it. It's just a powerful force of love, basically, a very powerful love. I've never experienced it since the actual moment when I met this woman.
And being really enveloping.
Very, very maternal, like. Well, obviously, I was only a child at the time. It really overpowering. A total getting on your knees sort of love, sort of thing, you know. It's so powerful. And on the first positive experience that I mentioned on the last show, I was warned that I was going to have to experience some negative abductions. And they started very shortly after the initial positive abduction, in which I was basically visited in the evening in the bedroom, paralysed in some way, taken out of the bedroom and ended up in some sort of laboratory or a room or a craft, whatever it was. I was zoomed upwards into the air, and I was taken into this craft, or what we thought of at the time as a craft, and a lot of nasty things were shown to me and done to me, and basically I was very traumatised through it. It was very, very, very scary.
And how old were you when that first negative abduction happened?
Shortly after when I was six, six or seven.
Sure, okay, alright.
Yeah, very, very, very young, and it went on for a few years. Into puberty and beyond, and I've never ever really sorted out what we were actually trying to do. What, you know, I've got many, many, many ideas of what they were doing, and implanting very shocking memories inside me. It felt, Juliet, like there was taking something off me or blocking something in me. To keep me dumbed down, I think the term's used in America, to keep me spiritually unaware,
yes.
Keep me placid and not thinking properly, no spiritual awareness whatsoever. I think that was the aim of the negative experiences I had. I also had a very, very strange experience. I don't know whether I mentioned it on the show last time, about I was out walking with my friends, a few friends of ours. I was with a few boys. We went for a walk one summer's day up into the local countryside, and we was all walking together. And all of a sudden, there was just a flash of light, a powerful boof of light. And the next news, I was basically, we were two men, strange-looking men, basically got us to kneel down in a circle in the field. And the rest of them were asleep, and I was the only one awake. So I pretended to be asleep as well. You know, I shut my eyes and kept my head down. But they knew I wasn't asleep, and they started assaulting me and kicking me. They checked the back of my neck. They checked the back of my neck, and I remember one of them saying, "This one's been done. This one's been done." That's all I can remember it saying.
Oh, yeah.
And the next news, I was walking down the street as though nothing had happened with the same boys. I must point out that I didn't remember this experience until I had a spiritual awakening in 1999. This memory came back to me after that. I didn't remember it at the time. All I remembered at the time was walking down the street. I mean, after the experience, walking down the street with very slight memory of it, you know, as though I knew something had happened, but I didn't know what. And I felt sort of totally strange about it. And I thought that was a very different experience, because I've never had anything like that since. And it was in the open air, in daylight, and I had people with me. But they, as I say, they seemed totally oblivious and asleep while it was going on. That was a very strange experience.
What did those blokes look like who were messing with you and who said that you'd been done?
I can explain it. They look like people. I know this is going to sound silly, but they look like people who had like bank robbers with tights over their head. Special tights, stockings that ladies wear, that
yes.
A bank robber would wear over the face. The face looked like that, and they looked pockmarked. That's how I remember it, because I've seen somebody that had a pair of tights or stockings over their head,
right.
Playing a game,
mm.
And that's what I had a memory of it. I had a flashback, and that's what they looked like. They looked basically like they had a pair of tights and stocking over their head with the speckled patterns that are in some sort of stockings.
Yes.
I know that sounds bloody daft, but that's how I can see it. And they were very nasty and violent. They were, you know, but they were only interested in what had happened to me at the back of my neck.
Right.
And as I explained in the last show, Juliet, I had an experience, well, the very first experience I had.
With a lovely lady.
With a lovely lady. It was the lovely lady and the people that was with the lovely lady actually messed around with the back of my neck. So it wasn't anything negative with my neck, it was a positive experience.
You said that it was painful, right? And then she reassured you that you would be all right after that happened.
Yeah, what she left me with a memory of that sometimes in my life, that it was about to happen, that I would suffer some severe pains and stresses. But as soon as they could take them pains and stresses away, they would do. It was like they could, they knew I was going to suffer a lot of bad things in my life, but they also knew that they would protect me.
Yes.
And as soon as they could help solve the stresses I was suffering, they would do. And now I'm 48 years old now. I realise now what the lady was saying, because especially in the last 10 years, I've had some very stressful times, and but I've always come out of it okay. You know, I've always felt like there's been a force protecting me. You know, even though they're leading me into difficult situations, I've always felt there's been a force that's protecting me at the same time. And they're only leading me into these stressful situations for me to learn and experience and see this world as it really is. And then once I've found out what I'm supposed to find out, then the pressures are taken off me. And I get on a lot better with myself after I've learned what I'm meant to learn. I might be saying it confusing, but that's how it appears to me. And that's what it's been like since 1999, especially.
And that's a really important thing to remember, too, is that when you, because I've felt like this about myself, too, that no matter what has happened to me, that there is something that is protecting me. And I was actually sort of praying about this bubble to envelop me and protect me even recently, because, boy, it gets, you know, really scary, some of the things that we've been subjected to. So that's a good point, and something that's really important to remember and for people to know about, that, you know, we're made to go through these experiences, just like you said, that we've got to learn something so that we can share it with the world and help them understand that things are not as they appear. So, and I want to get into some of this, that you know, what you've learned as a result of these experiences too. And I remember the last time you talked about being made to go up this ladder at work when you were fed up and at your wit's end with that, and then something's happened with the back of your neck again, and it's like you were infused with some kind of power that had you very, very more assured somehow.
I'll quickly go back through that experience. What happened was in the mid-90s, I was literally told by a psychic, a person that didn't claim they was a psychic, but they gave me some messages that they felt I should have. And I was rather a bit of a skeptic about psychics and people telling the future and stuff like that at that time. The build-up from the mid-90s to the late 90s, I started to suffer real depression, a lot of stress in my life with work, and it built up and built up and built up. Obviously, it's not easy to get across to you in a couple of minutes. The build-up of negativity and stress and bad things going on in my life, and it literally came to a head while I was on the shop. Working on a, in an aerospace factory in the town where I was in Birmingham, Lancashire, and the build up of stress I was having, I was being what's termed as, I don't know if any of your readers listeners have heard of workplace bullying by managers and bosses, but it's on the rapid increase in England, especially where the workers are getting more and more downtrodden. And I thought I was being mistreated by the management at the time, and it built up and built up and built up. And one day I was forced by the boss to do a job that I wasn't physically capable of doing. Because I suffer from arthritis in the hip, and I was forced to do this job. This boss was picking on me, and he forced me to climb up a ladder, a very 30 feet in height, and I had to carry these buckets of water. And as I was going up this ladder, suffering all these depressions and anger, that basically more anger than anything else, it would either do the job or leave the job. And I couldn't leave the job. I had two children to feed and the pressure of that as well. I felt a very powerful electric type shock down the back of my spine. The back of my spine literally vibrated in my body. And I dropped the bucket, and I came down the ladder, and I just wasn't the same person. I literally changed at instant. I changed people. I changed from one person to another. I was a very, very shy person, very quiet person, even though. I could be angered or something, quick-tempered or whatever. I was always a very quiet person. There was no way, in 1999, there was no way where I'd be thinking I would be talking to you on here about what my experience was in life in 2007. It would never have entered my head. I would never have dared do it. So you can see the transformation for me actually coming on, actually talking about these things. Because I wouldn't have dared do it before 1999. I would never, ever, ever, I wouldn't have mentioned it to anybody. But now, I feel I have to.
Yes.
Even if I make a fool of myself, or people think I'm a nutcase or whatever, I still have to get it across. For better reasons, for reasons better known to other forces, I have to get a message, I feel I have to get a message across to certain people that's currently alive on this planet. And I'm quite prepared to do that, but the actual force that travelled down my spine, I have never ever felt like anything in my life before. I've had electric shocks when I've been messing around with plugs and things like that, but I have never ever experienced anything like it. It literally vibrated. I was literally vibrating. And it wasn't a bad feeling. It was a very good feeling. It was like, oh yes, you know, I've been waiting for this sort of thing. It felt, the moment I got hit with it, it felt like, yes, this is it. I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. I came down the ladders, and as I say, I've never been the same person. Totally amazing. When I think back now, I remember people's faces at the time when I came down the ladder, and I laughed at myself. But it was definitely some force doing something to me, without me being able to see it, who it was or whatever. It literally opened something up in me. If that makes sense to you, Julia.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely it does.
It released something that I was blocked from accessing.
Right.
Like somebody opening a lock. Somebody like opened a lock in there. And since that day, I have been able to think differently, to use the intuition to go and research things so easily that I've been led to things literally instantly. If I pick a book up, I will be shown the page that's most important to me. I won't have to read the whole book. Stuff like that.
Yes.
I'll walk into a place where there's something happening, what I need to know about, and things like that. It appears that some sort of, as I say, some sort of lock has been opened inside me. that was blocking me accessing an awareness that was blocked off of me. I couldn't access, before 1999, I could not access the awareness that I've been able to access since 1999. I think totally different. I don't know how to really explain it, but it's like it feels like I've had some sort of brain transplant. You know what I mean? That's how different I feel than I did before 1999.
Now, would you say that the beautiful lady, as we're calling her, had something to do with that? That maybe at this perfect moment they triggered something, because again, with that first experience you had, they did something to the back of your neck.
Yes.
And then you had this experience that went down your spine and through and radiated throughout your whole body.
Yeah.
Do you think it could have been connected with that?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely, yes.
Yes.
Obviously, at the time when I was being told, I'll be wiser when I were older, that's what I was told, you'll be wiser when you're older.
Yes.
And as soon as I got the electric shock up the ladders. Yes, it started to make sense to me.
Yeah.
It feels like I was implanted or given information when I was a child, and it was locked inside me until I reached, I was 40 years old in 1998. You know, at the end of 1998, I was almost 40 years old. So it felt like whatever happened to me as a child, even though it didn't make sense to me at the time, and didn't make sense to me at all most of my life until I reached 40 years old, that it was definitely meant to be. And even though I was left for 30 years at least, not knowing what had happened to me as a child, things started to make sense when I reached the age of 40. I spent many years during my early 20s and the early 30s, just having slight memory of what had happened in my childhood. And I always fobbed it off as though I were having bad dreams, or you hear about this sleep paralysis.
Sure.
And I always used to just use that as an excuse to block it out of my mind.
Mm.
But deep down inside, Juliet, I knew it was what had happened to me as a child was very true. Even before I had an awakening in 99, I knew there was something far, far strong and important regarding my childhood experiences. I knew it was for the long term. It had come to me when I was older, and it started to do so in 1999. And what I've been doing since 1999, I've been rapidly gathering information into myself and researching things, and things are starting to make a hell of a lot more sense to me now than I did for most of my life.
And that's really important too. And so what? Where did that lead you from there? I know that. You have to bear with me because I'm a psychic too. I've been doing this work for many, many years. Actually, having started in the late 60s, so we're talking of 40 years that I've been doing, spiritual counseling and clairvoyance and mediumship and that sort of thing. And also being led to having to share things that kind of stretches people's minds a bit, but. They need to get certain bits of information. So you also saw someone who said that some of these special things were going to happen, and that you were going to take a trip to Egypt and all of that.
That was the psychic in 95, which I did. Mm-hmm. I wasn't taking much notice of them at the time. I wish I'd have took more notice of them. I was given a lot of information in 95, I wasn't taking it all in. I was, I was a bit of a skeptic.
Mm.
But every single thing that the psychic told me has come true. Every single thing.
Bless her.
from what had happened to me at work to the experience that I have, the path that I would take in searching for what I believe is the truth, and all sorts of things. Every single thing that I was told has come true. Now, how this psychic knew all these things, I don't know. But if I hadn't got this information off this psychic, I would have probably ended up in a lunatic asylum because of the things that was happening to me. You know, if I hadn't had that some sort of information that these things was going to happen, then I do not think I would have been able to cope with what was happening without basically thinking I'd gone mad. Because the things were really, really upsetting. The situation at work and everything and my family life, it was leading me to be traumatised so much that I believe now that the traumatic experience actually helped unlock the traumatic experiences that I was suffering from at the time seemed to help in my awakening. You know, if I hadn't have had the stresses and the strains put onto me, I do not think I would have been able to awaken. It was only because I was traumatized and I was thinking all the time, why is this happening to me? Why are these things happening in my life? Why am I being pressurized so much? That actually opened me up, and I actually felt when I was up the ladder that something, as I say, someone had been kept me off the back of my neck, and information just seemed to pour into me. Well, not exactly information, just I was believing in my intuition 1,000 times more than I used to do.
There you go.
You know, if I got a gut feeling, I always went with it. I went with it. Whatever happened to me, I went with the gut feeling, and I would never have done that before 1999. I would have bowed down to the system. If I were pressure were put on me by the system, I would have bowed down. I would not have followed my intuition if it were leading me into trouble. But that's how it worked. I seemed to get empowerment by following my intuition.
Then
and
it's so
never ever let me
down.
It never ever did. It led me into a lot of conflict and a lot of battles, especially with authority. But it never ever let me down. I always learned from it, and I always came out at the other end. You know, I hope that makes sense. But
that's so important for people to know, because I'm telling people all the time, it's so important to trust your intuition and to follow it, because it's not wrong, you know. It's there for a reason, and it's actually our birthright. But we're conditioned out of it from an early age, sadly. And I'm so pleased that it was quickened in you, as it were, in 1999. And again, I can't stress how important that is for people to honor that and to respect it. So what was some of the events, that you started on this path, as it were, in 99, where did this carry you? What were some of the things that you started to experience, to find out?
I seem to be given challenges for an example, around the same time, 1999, 2000, my parents... We're getting on a bit then. My dad's 77 years old now. And they lived in a council-owned council's old people's flat in the town I live in. And they were having problems with the council.
Oh dear.
And what happened was, because they was getting on a bit, and I actually stepped in to help them to sort the problems out. And I was like, with hindsight, I was directed to go and see what was actually going on, and to experience the local council. And to cut a long story short, I ended up seeing local corruption, how things are manipulated in the local authorities, the dishonesty, stuff like that. And I was led like to challenge authority everywhere. I seemed to be challenging authority everywhere I went. And I didn't seem to, even when I was threatened with authority, I didn't back down. There was some sort of force in me that made me carry on. As soon as, when authority gets his big stick out and it starts threatening you, everybody seems to back down because they know they're going to get into trouble.
Yeah.
But I seem to have something pushing me and pushing me and pushing me to keep challenging and challenging and challenging. So I learned how the system was corrupt. And I've learned a hell of a lot of how the local, especially the local system, manipulates the people. And it lives behind the corruption is so intense that people don't get to see it because they haven't the guts to push and have a look. You know,
exactly.
Because it's inbred in us to back down to authority, like you said earlier, from birth.
Mm.
Literally from birth, we programmed not to follow the intuition. If authority says this is this, then we're supposed to bow down and say, yes, yes, it is. But since 1999... I seem to have lost all fear of authority, and I've been led down many, many paths similar to the one of my parents. Sadly, my mother died in 2001, and she suffered a lot of stress because of the situation she was in. And apart from it being a sad thing for me that she did die, I learned a lot more through a death, about what happens to us when we do die. Well, we don't die, but
exactly.
I'm going a bit too far ahead there, but I was basically sent down many, many, many paths from 1999. I went through the local council procedures. The obviously the employment tribunals because of my work situation. I was arrested by the police for allegedly harassing a council taxman. I don't know if that's anything symbolic, but I was arrested for causing bother with a taxman. And basically, during all these experiences, I was literally being bombarded with information on how our world really operates. Physically, on a far-sense level, I was getting a lot of stick and I was suffering a lot of anger and frustrations. On a spiritual level, I was actually learning a hell of a lot of what goes on that we don't normally see what's going on. And that's when I started researching other things, and I started writing, and I started seeing things in monuments and statues and pop concerts and all these sort of things. It's like I was just being bombarded with information. And at the same time, I'm supposed to somehow get this information out. It seemed an impossible task at the time, but eventually I'm starting to learn how to do it. You know, it's very hard to come off a factory floor and be a messenger. you know, from working on the factory floor to actually trying to get spiritual information out to people, it's not an easy task.
You've been doing a wonderful job, Matthew, you really have, and I want to make mention of your books again to the listeners. The first one is called You Will Be Wiser When You're Older, and that actually describes the abduction experiences. And then the second book is The Stars Are Falling, and that is actually a compilation of the information that you were able to glean as a result of your experiences on the research that you've been doing, and really well written too, lad. You've done a splendid job. And then you've got your blog going too, and you're working on another book.
There's a lot of things going on at the moment, and it's going to take a couple of weeks or so, type. But things are going well that way. I'm pretty happy with stuff like that. But what I have learnt, Juliet, is the experiences that I've had have made me question whether our world is actually real. I think we talked about in-body abduction and out-of-body abduction.
Yeah.
And what's the difference, you know? I've experienced both. I've experienced an out-of-body experience in 1997. And I've better mention the experience I had in 1997 for anybody that's listening that's actually had an out-of-body experience to see if it relates to anything that they did. Basically, in 1997, I floated out of my body and I was looking down at my body on my bed. And I felt totally free, no tiredness, absolutely super fit, you know, that sort of thing. I basically could fly around at very fast speeds, and I flew to the next town next to Burnley, called Tomerden. It's in Yorkshire.
Mm.
And Tomerden has an history of UFO incidents. And basically, I stopped at an hill, and I crawled in a little hole in this hill, and inside the hill, there was like it was all open inside, and I met three men, and with hindsight now, they felt like the three brothers. It was like I was the fourth brother, and we had a little discussion, and then we said to each other, we'll meet up in the future, you know, and then next night we all separated at the same time, at northeast, south and west, and I flew home and literally swept down and just laid down back in my body again. Now, in 1997, I thought, I'm a dream. Obviously, I thought, I'm a weird dream, you know, I've just floated out of my body and flew over to Tomerden, gone inside an hill and met up with three blokes who I think are my brothers. Now, if it's all up to a psychiatrist, you think I was playing the twist. But it was in 1997 when I experienced this, long before I went up any ladders or had a change in awareness.
Great.
But with hindsight now, I can see that I've learned from that experience that maybe we subconsciously, on a subconscious level, out of body, we create our future, if that makes any sense to anybody.
Absolutely, we do.
We subconsciously create our future before we physically experience the present. So what I was doing in 1997, even though it seemed like a silly dream at the time, I was trying to subconsciously create my future. Because when I met this psychic in 1995, he said that I would meet up in the future with three other people that I would treat as my brother, as though we were all brothers. Now, obviously, at the time, I laughed about it. But events in my life now are leading me into that sort of situation. So, anyway, what I would trying to suggest is the out-of-body experiences and the in-body abductions may be the same thing. It doesn't have to be a different thing. It can be exactly the same thing. if you can understand that this actual physical world that we smell, touch and feel, etc., is not real. It's an illusion.
It absolutely is. According to my experiences and everything that I've been told, in fact, from the other side, I could see this plane is just a bunch of waves. And David Icke mentions that, bless him, in his book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion. Whilst I was on the other side, and I've been on the other side a few times from death experiences, every time being told that this plane is nothing but an illusion, it's a hologram, it's not real. And so, you know, what you're saying is absolutely true, because, you know, I think we communicate and connect beyond the physical body anyway. It's something that happens on a deeper level and on other dimensions simultaneously, and lastly, on this dimension. So, you know, when you have these experiences, in a real way, I think even out of body might be, it might have a stronger impact, because you're not dealing with so many filters, if that makes any sense, as you are when you're dealing with something in the physical plane, and that's an important thing to remember as well. So go ahead, this is really interesting.
You can imagine that if all our minds create our physical world, then if our minds are somehow interfered with, or our subconscious is interfered with, then the physical world that we create is not really the world that we actually want, or we want to exist in. In simple terms, if a billion people's minds can create a living world that we can all experience, then if all the people, those minds was interfered with by another force, then those minds could be manipulated into creating a world that somebody else wanted to experience.
Yes.
Or somebody else wanted to watch. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense to me. Absolutely.
What we would have a situation of, Juliet, is if very few people could manipulate a lot of minds, then they could actually have the world that they want to experience, yet the people's minds would not be able to experience the world that they've come to experience. And therefore, it would lead to the world that we have at this present moment in time, which is full of illness, war, poverty, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And if this... I don't need to put into words. If these small group of people or other beings can create through our minds the world that they want to live in, then they can alter that world anytime they want. They can make it non-physical or physical. So where we are trapped in a physical world, they are not. They can come into this world and go out of it anytime they want. So what you have a thing then is if our world is not real and you suffer from an abduction that may appear to be physical to you, it isn't physical to the people that's coming to abduct you. If we was living under the sea, and we're swimming along, say we were fishers in the sea, and we're swimming along, and a big hand come in the water, grabbed hold of a fish and took it out, the people around wouldn't know what it was. The other fish around wouldn't know what it was, and if the fish was then placed back into the sea, and still alive, obviously, and that fish tried to explain to the other fishes that a big hand had come into the water and dragged it out, then it's going to sound an idiot fish, isn't it? It's just, they're not going to understand that from another world, an hand came into their world, grabbed them out of that world, and then placed them back in it. Because they're just not going to be able to comprehend that that could be happening, because they believe that the fishes believe that the sea was the only dimension that was in existence.
That's a very good analogy, too. And something else that I wanted to interject, because you were talking about our being trapped on this plane where these others are able to, as I use the word, toggle between different dimensions. Actually, if we, all of us, knew that we've got the same power to do the same thing, if we were not so brainwashed and hypnotized, as you so rightfully call it, into thinking that we're just stuck on this third dimensional realm, and in fact we really are not. And that's why people like myself, who's had a number of near-death and out-of-body experiences, and you, and, you know, we've all been called somehow to share this information, to experience it, to see it, and to share with others that, you know, that this certainly isn't the only plane there is, and in fact it's the least of the planes of existence. So that, you know, it's painful, and at the same time you've been put on a very, very important path that, well, you're just not going to be able to turn around and walk away from it. You're on it now, and you're going to be kept on, and it's for a wonderful reason. So,
well, yes. If it is true that we subconsciously create our future before we physically experience our present, then this would explain the feelings that some people get of deja vu, or,
yeah.
I mean, I used to experience a lot of dreaming the event of the day, of the day I experienced after. I would dream the night before of certain conversations, and then I'd find myself having these conversations the day after.
Exactly.
Yeah. And when I experienced this sort of thing, I was like gobsmacked. I used to think, oh, I dreamt that last night, and I'm talking about it now.
Yeah.
And if our physical reality is an illusion, as your guest next week will tell you, then if there's a power that can actually come in and out of our dimension any time they want to alter things, then it can explain events like 9/11.
Exactly.
Because there's that many conspiracy theories about 9/11, about how were the planes real, did they have bombs on them, how did the towers fall down like they did. Well, if our world is an illusion, and we've got a small group of manipulators that's helping create our illusion, then they could make these things happen, like a film producer edits a movie.
Exactly.
So simple that way. It's just that we cannot comprehend that living in this illusionary planet we live in, that these things can happen. I believe 9/11 was obviously a manipulated event, a very serious manipulated event. But when you weigh up the actual situation on that day, how the planes, they seem to just go straight through the building without any wings breaking off or any debris, and the building's just collapsing in a certain way, then you start to realise that physical things in this world can be manipulated, not only on a physical level, but on a spiritual level.
Oh yes, absolutely. And in fact, 10 years in advance of that happening, I had a very profound lucid dream about it. So I knew it was coming, and I saw the details about it, and it had nothing to do with what they say in the official story. I can promise you that. So when it happened, I knew straight away it was an inside job. And, you know, as painful as it is for me, I'm sort of a reluctant psychic here. I've also got to be grateful because the visions and the intuition has saved me, literally saved me life, and it's done so much to help other people too. And it's there for a reason, and it's happening for a reason.
There's another thing that I believe that will entrap us in this physical world, and that is the fear of death, Julia.
Yes, yes.
If the collective consciousness, all the people together, fear death, and I know a lot of people that fear death.
Oh, yes.
If we suffer that sort of thing collectively, then we're going to entrap a cell here. We're going to create a world where the collective consciousness will fear death so much that they will literally create a reality where they're trapped out in this world.
Mm.
Am I making sense there?
And it tends to paralyze people as well. I mean, it's awful how that's happened, and that is obviously why myself and so many others have been sent back to say, wait a second, there is no death. The body dies, you know, it's just like shedding an old shirt or something like that. We just throw it off and it's done. But we're still conscious. We still have got our selfhood. I can tell you from experience. And the power, just with a thought, what we can create, where we can take ourselves, who we can encounter, just with a thought. It's amazing the power that we've got at our disposal. So this is what we need to do, is to let people know, indeed, without question, death is an illusion. It is only an illusion. It's just a transition. It's just a passage from one room to another. And you change the scenery a bit, you know. It's actually much nicer. You know, when we get to leave this plane, and that's, yes, lad, that's so important to bring up and to remind people. And, you know, again, we are living on multiple dimensions simultaneously.
Right. The fact that I was going to mention the in-body, out-of-body experience was, basically, when I had the experiences when I was a child, I was, and I'm sure some other people out there that's had abduction experiences will wonder why they was able to float through walls or windows like I was. I was floated through my bedroom window.
Mm.
Well, if you go back to the situation of the world not being a proper physical thing, then it explains it. Because the people that abducted me, or the beings that abducted me and put me through my bedroom window, they actually know that this world isn't real.
Exactly.
And they know that they are not subjected to our mental programming that makes it feel physically real. So if they were operating in a way where when they grabbed hold of me and touched me, or I remember getting hit with a green weapon of some kind and being made paralyzed, when they actually touched me, then I became part of their world.
Yes.
For that very short period. And therefore, because they can come in and out like that, I would, in and out of this dimension when they want, because I came part of their world by them touching me, I was able to feel this world as it really is, an illusion, and they were able to physically move me through the glass window. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense, absolutely.
It was like two different worlds. Once they got me into touched me, I was part of their world, so the physical laws that we think exist in this world didn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
So, obviously, I became part of their world. And then when they finished with me and basically threw me back on my bed, I was back in this physical reality, even though it's an illusion. I was still in this world. I find that it is. It's not an actual taking out of your. It's not an actual act of taking you out of your body. It's an act of taking you out of the dimension by making you part of their dimension.
Exactly.
I hope that explaining it that way can help anybody out there that's experienced what I've experienced. They're not mad, they're not crazy. What's happened is...
we're getting ready to have this sign off. I can't believe how quickly this hour has gone, but I think we can, you know, definitely would like to have you come back again, Matthew, because this is so wonderful what we've been talking about.
Yeah, okay, love. I'm sorry I didn't get to fit in what I wanted to fit in there, but...
we'll do it. We'll probably have you back in a month or two. We'll do that, and I want to let everybody know that next week on Toward the Light, we are going to have David Icke, so this is a show not to be missed.
It's not to be missed. No. Anybody that's listening, it's not to be missed.
And please remember, everyone, that it is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please remember that only love prevails. We will talk to all of you next week with David Icke on Toward the Light. Blessings and light to everyone. Cheerio for now.
Bye-bye.